This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Danger! Danger!
It's not a lineup, it's not an army, it's not a stable, and it's not a family. It's an alliance of businessmen.
Place to Be Nation, you're listening to the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast, featuring a different way to look at and debate the history of wrestling. And now, your co-host, the PTBN PWO two-man power trip, JT and Will.
The Dangerous Alliance would rather die than surrender to you.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 20 of the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, JT. With me, as always, is my friend, who I finally met in person after all these years, last weekend, and that is good old Will from Texas. Will, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. A little tired from the Dallas trip, but I'm recovering nicely.
Yeah, definitely took some time to get back adjusted, but it was a great time. We had an awesome tailgate, thanks to Nick Duke, who spearheaded that, and it was awesome meeting you and Pete and Johnny P. And who's your other friend's name? Was it Michigan? Is he from Michigan?
Brent Baker.
There you go. So yeah, that was a lot of fun, and we ate a lot of food, and drank a bunch, and then we went into WrestleMania. So any quick thoughts on the weekend you wanted to give? I know you covered it on the reaction shows, but anything here?
Yeah. Well, I have a show that I've been meaning to edit with Dylan and Pete talking about the weekend and all the shows we went to. So look forward to that here on Place to Be.
Awesome. And I guess we'll plug it now as well. There's an NBA team podcast that went up this morning with you and our buddy Andrew Reich and one of his buddies, Terrence, I think, talking Spurs, right? San Antonio Spurs?
Yeah, it was Terrell.
Terrell, yes.
And talking Spurs, all things Spurs, mainly about the championship years, but we dive a little bit into the history, just a little bit.
Nice. All right, rejoining us, he missed the last episode. He has some work commitments, but he's back here, our part-time lover, and that is Dan McGinn. Dan, how are you?
I'm good, guys, and I appreciate Greeny taking the controls last time. My only complaint is I really wish he just cleaned up after himself. I mean, there's sex toys all over this place.
Hey, settle down.
The least he could have done is clean them. That's all I'm saying.
Always got to go to that denominator, Dan, the lowest common one. So anyway, for those new to the show, you shouldn't be. You should be listening to all of them. But if you happen to just find us now, how things work is Dan reaches into his giant sack of fun. He pulls out some random challenges and games. Usually there's a theme involved. We do three of those. They each last a half hour. Then we read some mail, and then we close up shop. But you can go back. Our full archive is at PlaySimulation.com, so catch up if you've missed us. So, Daniel, I'm going to go ahead and pause, take a breath. I'm going to let you tell us what is challenge number one.
April 26, 1992. There was a riot on the streets. Tell me, where were you? You were sitting home watching your TV while I was participating in some anarchy. First spot we hit, it was my liquor store. I finally got all that alcohol.
Fellas, for your first ball, we are going to build the card, as it were, and I'm going to really be devious tonight. It's the all-time WWE/WCW April cards from the 1990s.
Man, that was long-winded.
Devious like Mr. Fuji, and half as bright. But Dan, thank you. And Will, I like this one, because normally we do the card for the month, and April is a little weird because there weren't a ton of April WCW shows. There's only actually in history 5 Spring Stampedes. And then over in the WWF East side, there's a ton. Once you get into like the 2000s and Backlash and Extreme Rules, and we'd be jumping all over the place. So I wanted to avoid that. And what I wanted to do is just say, you know what? We're going to do 1990s, or Dan was going to say, we'll do 1990s. We'll do the 5 Spring Stampedes. So that includes 2000 because you know how it goes. Usually the early parts of 2000 or the end of the decade, kind of still like the 90s or the decade before. So we'll do Spring Stampede 94, 97, 98, 99, 2000, and then we'll do all the WWF pay-per-views from the 90s and the year 2000, mainly Backlashes is an In Your House in there or two, and then Unforgiven as well. So William, how do you prefer we go about this? Would you like to go chronologically? Would you like to bang out WCW and then hop over to WWF?
Let's bang out WCW first, man.
Okay. All right. So Spring Stampede 94 is a show we're pretty familiar with. If you remember, a couple of years ago, you, me, Charles, Scott, we jumped on and we talked WCW 94. We watched all the pay-per-views from that year and the clashes, and we talked about them. So that's one that not too long ago that we watched, and I love it. It's one of my favorite shows, and I think there's multiple choices from this card. Anything that jumps out to you is a must-have, because there's at least three here that's on my potential list.
This is a really hard one to do, because we're looking at one of the best wrestling cards of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, Regal versus Pillman. You know, if you give me a chance to pick a Regal match, I'm going to do it every day of the week. That was great. A lot of people like that Chicago Street fight with the Nasties, Cactus Jack and Max Payne. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bunkhouse Buck versus Dustin Rhodes in the Bunkhouse. Vader versus the Boss was good.
Yeah.
And a 32-minute world title match with Steamboat and Flair. The only thing is, if we use Steamboat and Flair here, that takes up our world title.
Right. And now, we didn't really set the ground rule. So do we want to say we can do one of each world title or just one title match?
Just one world title. We can use as many secondary belts as possible, and one tag title and one world title.
Okay. So that might make it a little tough, because there are a couple good choices coming up on the WWF side. And I think here, as good as Flair and Steamboat is, it's not one of their best. Obviously, the trilogy at 89, and you could even say – I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember that Saturday Night match being really, really good, too, that they had in 94.
Oh, that's a really great one. And there's some 70s footage out there of, like, long arena clips that are just with unreal heat. Yeah, I would pass on Flair Steamboat here as well. Plus, it's not a definitive finish.
Right.
You know, it's a no contest. So.
And there's so many other great choices, too, that we're not stuck with that here. So.
Now, to me, the choice comes down to, like I said, just because I am not a big fan of the Nasty Boys tag. To me, the choice comes down between Regal and Pillman, which was a draw, or Bunkhouse Buck versus Dustin Rhodes. If you pick either one of those, I wouldn't be mad at you.
So, can we talk Vader Boss?
I think it would get knocked out by one of the other ones, quite frankly.
That match is so good. They beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they did.
I like Regal Pillman. It's not one of my favorite Regal matches. I don't know if it'll pop up anywhere else. Let's go Bunkhouse Buck Dustin Rhodes for now.
I like it.
You get a lot of fun in that match, and that feud is awesome all throughout 94, so you get a snapshot of it. So we'll go with that, and I don't think, 90s Goldust is not really a high priority, and I don't think we'll see Bunkhouse Buck again. So let's go with that match for now. We'll mark that down here as our first choice. And then we're going to jump ahead 3 years to 1997. I have one that sticks out for me, and it's a good one because it's a big-time match with no title. Is Randy Savage DDP on your radar?
I don't think we even have to run down any other match. I mean, the only other one that I think could be in contention is Rey Mysterio versus Ultimo Dragon as the opener. But I don't remember that being like one of the great cruiser matches from that era. But
yeah,
you know,
no, me neither.
The only other one.
I haven't seen it more, recently enough to say either way. Dan, I don't know if you've seen that one anytime recently, but it's not one that jumps out of my mind as like a must-have. Love you, Dan. You think at all? You remember that match?
Dan, Earth to Dan. You must be feeding the dog.
Sorry, I was yelling at my dog. Actually, no, I liked Paige Savage, but some times since I've seen it, to be perfectly honest with you.
All right, I didn't know if you had remembered Ray dragging it off. Any memory of that match? I just don't have much memory of it, so I don't know if we were like missing a classic, you know what I mean? Probably not. Okay, I guess not. Kira Hokuto Medusa was a big feud. All right, let's go DDP Randy Savage, no DQ match. One of the best feuds in 97, especially on the WCW side. And both guys well worth being showcased here on our super card. So two down, let's head to 1998. Anything jump out at you there?
Well, there's a couple of things. Unfortunately, Chris Benoit killed his family, so he eliminated. But God, him and Booker T tore it up in 98. It's almost, if 2007 never happened, like you would pick that one for your TV title. This one isn't a great match, but I think it's absolutely important in the rise of Goldberg, and that's pinning Saturn. Because remember, before this, he was kind of pinning the Brad Armstrongs of the world, the Glaziers. Mm-hmm. right? Sometimes he'd get to pin a Ming or Barbarian, but Saturn was kind of like, you know, it was him versus the Flock. Remember the Flock all jumped in and he kind of fought off the Flock because
it was a big one because the next night he beat Raven for the U.S. title.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
Raven wins
right.
it here and then the next night. So that was like his real first. So yeah, this was like a big stepping stone match for him to set him up for his first title.
So I like this match as kind of a match that isn't going to overwhelm the rest of the card, but it's important and it's a fun match. It's a fun Goldberg match.
Raven DDP is really good too, but obviously we're not going to, it's not better than DDP Savage. No,
DDP Savage locked in. That's not even content. That's not even
But I do like Raven DDP a lot. If we're doing a worse card, we got Kurt Hennig and Davey Boy Smith to talk about. But all right, let's go to 1999. And that's where things start to get a little fuzzy for WCW.
But now we're lucky here because this is one of the best cards of the year in 1999.
Actually, yeah, you're right. It is. But unfortunately, one of the best matches. And, you know, it's funny you said the Benoit thing last card because that, I feel like that's the softest I've heard you be with almost caving. But this is one of the best matches on the card is him and Malenko against Raven and Saturn in that tag match. But obviously, yeah. Will rules. So we're not gonna go with that one.
Well, I mean, and Goldberg's out,
yeah.
right?
And that's okay. a good match too, Goldberg. Is that one of the ones? That, oh no, it's Goldberg Steiner. What was the one that was like underrated where they beat the shit out of each other? I think it was Goldberg.
Yeah, that was like Fall Brawl 2000 or something. Anyway, the world title match is obviously out. DDP, Ric Flair, Hogan, Sting. So that's out because we already got our DDP match. You got Juventud Guerrero versus Blitzkrieg opening the show.
I was looking at Ray Kidman too.
Ray Kidman once again. This 1999 Ray. I mean, it's. It's not one of, I mean, it's a good match. I'd rather go Juventud versus Blitzkrieg as like your hot opener.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't remember either that well. So if I trust your judgment in this one. If you think,
let's be real here. It's a spot fest, right. But I mean, if you were around during that time online, man, Blitzkrieg, everybody was talking about Blitzkrieg. He's the future, blah, blah, blah. And well, I guess he wasn't really the future cause he kind of fizzled out, but right. you know, I'm just looking at like, you know, if the card doesn't look strong enough, like we can go back and revisit, you know, something sure. like Booker versus Benoit or, you know, something like that. I really don't want to put Benoit on. I mean, but we're looking at what's good for the card. So I would go Juventud Blitzkrieg. I mean, we already have Bunkhouse Buck and Dustin. We've got DDP mm-hmm. and Savage. This is going to be a stacked card.
Yeah. So. And there's some good Dodie. I have like real good Dodie F choices coming up too. So.
Right. So. Let's go to 99.
2000.
2000. My bad.
No problem. So 2000 was right after the new era that came around for Russo and Bischoff and all the tournament. 14 matches, so you could tell we're in the Russo era. The time, 6:11, 2:48, 3:53, 4 minutes. You know, it's like all of a sudden, boom, nothing. One match over 10 minutes on this whole card.
We're not using it because we already used DDP.
And nothing else is even nine. I mean, there's nothing yeah. even such as 9 minutes, ugh. Which is amazing. Mankow, Jimmy Hart.
No, to me, I mean, the close thing here is probably Terry Funk versus Norman Smiley, you know, for the hardcore title. Just,
how about any of these? I mean, if you want to get a name on there, like Sting or Steiner, like they're not going to be on the any Dirty F card.
Yeah, but that's a horrible. I'd rather put Funk and Smiley on.
How about Sting
it's
and
okay
Booker? Was that any good?
It's okay if Sting is not on the show.
Saying, if we wanted to, I mean, I didn't know if Smiley Funk was like good enough to.
Yeah, I don't have any idea why Sting and Steiner are fighting three times on this show. Is it tournament?
It's a tournament, yeah. They vacated all the titles. And then,
no, I'm going Funk Smiley. If you see something that you'd like to argue, but if not, that's
no.
The
I honestly don't know the card well enough to argue vehemently.
I think the only concern we have right now is we have a bunkhouse match, a no DQ match, and a hardcore match.
And I have a feeling one of our title matches for DOTAF main events may push that as well. So,
well, you know they have Extreme Rules in April now, so this will be like our Extreme Rules pay per view, right?
Yeah, and you gotta do what's best. So.
And we can revisit these. So yeah. let's just get some matches down. Look at the card. See if we can do it. If we don't like it, we can switch some stuff out.
All right, let's head over to WWF then. We go to 1996, Good Friends, Better Enemies. The first proper April card. Now, we know the Mania was often in April, but we're not counting that. And to me, you know, usually consider that as like a March show. So we're going to start with Good Friends, Better Enemies. I mean, the big match that sticks out here, and if we feel like this is the best title match on the, you know, on the docket coming up, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, awesome no DQ match, the, you know, for Shawn leg and everything else. So that's my choice. Yeah. The card is, I think, soft. Other than that, Invader Razor is okay. They beat the crap out of each other. I like Shawn Diesel a lot. There's one other choice I like from a world title perspective, but that card in 2000 is much more loaded. It's kind of like Stampede 94, so there'll be other choices, whereas here this is really stands out as the only choice to me.
Yeah, the only thing is, I guess if we wanted to get Vader Razor on the card, we could. We might come back to this one if there's a better world title later on down the line. But let's pick tentatively HBK versus Diesel as our world title match.
Yep, I'm down with that. All right, so
we go 1997, Taker's Revenge.
Yeah, Taker's Revenge indeed.
This one's easy. This one, I mean, it has to be Stone Cold versus Bret Hart, right?
Yeah, because Austin, he's in the title match in 98, which we can, I guess we'll talk about now if you want to look ahead to it. Unforgiven 98, it's him and Dude Love. You know, they had the back-to-back series there and Over the Edge. Over the Edge, to me, is the superior match. So this one's really good, too, 98. So why don't we look at the 98 card in conjunction with 97 and see what, you know, what else stands out. Like, to me, I'd rather have Shawn Diesel versus Dude Love and Austin. I'd probably rather have Bret and Austin as well, even though it's not their best match. You know, 98 gets a little soft otherwise. I mean, if you, you know.
Yeah, 98's looking rough.
I mean, the Inferno match is cool. I know you hate both those guys, but it's cool for the spectacle. It was like the first ever with all the fire and everything. Like, that was.
Yeah, that was absolute garbage.
I know. But it was cool. The fire ring was cool.
Ugh. Oh, man. Couldn't stand it. Man, both these cards are really rough. Like, it's kind of like main event or bust.
Yeah, I mean, Taker Foley's good, too, but I wouldn't, I mean, I don't want to use that as our title match.
Dude,
I'd rather go Austin Bret just to get Bret on the card.
Yeah.
And then 98. Ugh. I mean, Triple H Owen's not bad, European title. Get Owen on there.
Yeah, let's get Owen on there. And, you know, I can stomach a Triple H match. And
yeah,
we're not going to worry.
Can you stomach more, Triple H match or the Taker Kane Inferno?
Yeah, okay, Triple H it is. I mean, that okay. All right, yeah, I like it. That's all okay. Right. And you know what? To be fair, I haven't seen that match in almost 20 years. So, hey, it could be better.
All right, let's go to Backlash now, to 99, the inaugural right here in Providence. Another really good, see, a lot of good title match choices here in April for, I feel like all of these could legitimately headline these cards. Like, they're all pretty good. You know, I feel that Austin, I like this Austin Rock match actually better than Mania.
Oh, that's an awesome matchup.
Otherwise, I mean, you know, the hardcore match, Al Snow and Bob Holly wasn't bad.
You know what match I would pick personally, but I don't think you'd want to use this. I like the Godfather versus Goldust. Oh, but we got Dustin already. Yeah. Oh,
I don't think,
man,
you're willing to dump Bunkhouse and Dustin for Godfather.
Well, I would,
Goldust,
because Regal Pillman's right there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Hunter Xbox long, but solid. Taker Shamrock is that really weird match where they try and go like,
oh,
all friggin' MMA.
But it wasn't good MMA. It was like a right, bad Ken Shamrock MMA match. I rewatched it because I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. Somebody praised that match.
Really?
And I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. And it sucked. It was horrible. It was embarrassing.
I remember at the time, you know, in 99, liking it because it was so different. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, Ken Shamrock finally doing the UFC stuff. But now, like, now that we've, like, UFC is a thing and you kind of know what MMA looks like and you go back and rewatch that, it's like, oh, it is dull. I mean,
yeah, I thought it was like watching paint dry. I thought there was nothing
props to Taker for
back
trying
then
it. Yeah.
Or now.
Props to Taker for trying it, but it was
no props for having a shit match.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that Bunkhouse Brawl so much. To me, it's not worth switching. I'd rather just like throw Snow and Holly on here, or even that opener. Just
yeah,
like,
let's do Snow Holly just because what the hell, right? Wait, hold on. Was the hardcore match between Funk and Norman a title match?
Yeah, so I guess we have to decide if we're delineating between the company titles.
Yeah, we're only gonna have to have one hardcore title.
All right, let's do We could do the Boiler Room Brawl, Mankind and Paul White. That was, I mean, it's okay, but that's the one where he punches the glass and, like, shreds his hand up.
Yeah, let's do that one only because, man, these WWF cards are really bringing my my card down here.
Well, it's tough because all matches are all the title matches, and that was, like,
right.
You know, if you look at that era of WWF, when they were sorting things out, if you remember the comparison to WCW was always that WCW had awesome undercards and a shit main event. WWF always had rough undercards and awesome main events, and that's just bearing out in this right here. You know?
Oh, yeah, because these cards suck.
You know, but then when you look at like I said, I'd pick almost every title match on all of these as contenders. Like, that'd be my choice for every one, pretty much. I still think we have the best of the bunch, though, with Shawn and Diesel of all of them.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, 2000, which is another really good championship match, Rock, Triple H, and that's when Austin comes in with the big gut and starts swinging the chair. So some other good choices here. I mean, you know, the underrated really good match that I like is Malenko-Scotty Too Hotty.
It's not underrated. You know what? It's not underrated. It's been praised throughout the years.
Yeah, forgotten maybe is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
But it is a good match, and it has been praised. It's not like people are saying, "Oh, that's a boring match."
Right.
You know, underrated. No, that would be my pick right there. Done.
Yep.
But you can keep running down the list if you want to.
Yeah, there's other decent. I mean, Edge and Christian in that opener is memorable because that's where they first started their heel turn. They started doing the kind of smarky insider stuff on commentary, and that was really their first match that set them on the run of, you know, what they eventually became. And also memorable for two other reasons. Deborah did the ring announcements and she was hammered. She was like stumbling all over her words. And then X-Pac got busted open hard way from the bell in a pretty nasty gash. You know, Show Angle's funny just because Big Show does the Hogan. Remember, he did the big Hulk Hogan impression.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, we already did the Boiler Room Brawl, so we can't do that.
Yeah, and it's not worth coming over Malenko, Scotty. And then, I mean, other than that, Eddie Ese Rios is pretty good. And, you know, we're not going to use Benoit, but him and Jericho is really good, too. So, I mean, I think Malenko, Scotty is a really good match. So I'm down with that. But I think it just goes to show the strength of the world title matches. At this time, like I said, I think arguably the best of every card, maybe except 97 is the only one. All right, so here's what we got, and then we can go through and organize them. So we get 10 matches. We got Bunkhouse Buck and Dustin Rhodes in the Bunkhouse match, DDP Savage in a no DQ, Goldberg Saturn, Juventud Guerrero versus Blitzkrieg, Terry Funk, Norman Smiley for the hardcore title, Shawn Michaels Diesel for our WWF title, no DQ, Austin Brett in a one-on-one match, Triple H Owen Hart for the European title, Mankind, Paul White for the boiler in a Boiler Room Brawl, and then Malenko, Scotty Too Hotty for a light heavyweight title match. And it's interesting because I feel like we have like the underrated title or the forgotten titles on the undercard of this show. Like, we don't have IC or US or Tag, but we have the WCW Hardcore, we have the European, and the light heavyweight title. So that's kind of funny, I thought.
Yeah, that is pretty different. This card, it's going to be kind of hard to to put together, you know. I mean, do you put? I guess you'd have to put DDP Savage on before Austin Hart, right? Because you have two. You don't want to put, or do you want to put the two no DQ matches back to back?
It's I mean, everything. Like, even right down the line, everything is no DQ. I mean, even our main event. So we got to really try and space them out, I guess. So I mean, how many legit no rules matches we have? We have one.
Okay.
We got a bunkhouse, a no DQ, a
bunkhouse.
Hardcore. A no DQ,
a boiler room brawl,
and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin Brett's a straight match. It's just a DQ.
Right. So I would put that one. Well, let's put the two no DQs together.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking is, okay, is that we start off with Juventud Blitzkrieg, right?
No brainer.
Yeah. Right. I mean, just hot. But then we're going to bring the crowd down a little bit. Okay. Because I don't want to put two lightweight matches on back to back. All right?
Yeah.
And we're going to do Goldberg versus Saturn after that. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, we say bring the crowd down, but they're probably fired up. I was actually thinking, should we throw Hunter and Owen in there? Because to me, that's like, I don't know, early Hunter. He's not super over. Owen was kind of in a weird spot. Like, Goldberg's actually, like, do we use that to pop the crowd?
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay, so let's bring him down to where they're almost comatose with Hunter Owen.
Yeah,
because Triple H sucks. Okay,
and
I like
that.
And
now we wake him up with Goldberg.
Or do you want to go then to back to the lightweight?
Yeah, if we want to do the back-to-back titles, we could. Or we could burn off Mankind Paul White here, because we're going to have a bunch of garbage matches coming still.
I would say you burn off – I have Paul White, Mankind Paul White up a little later, only because it's kind of like your piss break, you know, before your three big main events.
How about Funk Smiley? I'm just thinking, like, do we want to jam all the hardcore stuff in a row? Like, I feel like we
– Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Then, okay, so we got Hoovy versus Blitzkrieg, Hunter versus Owen, Goldberg versus Saturn.
Well, actually, now I'm rethinking things, because we're burning off three non-garbage matches, and then we're going to have a bunch in a row. What if we do Terry Funk second, and then bring the crowd down with Hunter and Owen? So we start with the hot opener, and then we get some hardcore fun, and then you do the straight 12-minute match, and then okay. We start to build back up with another garbage match.
So we're doing Terry Funk second?
Yeah, so I say Hoovy opens, Terry Funk Smiley second. That's just an 8-minute kind of fun plunder match.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's garbage, but it's not like vicious garbage.
Okay. Well, how about this then? All right. So Hoovy versus Blitzkrieg opens.
Yep.
Then Funk Smiley. Then Owen Hunter, so people can take naps.
Yeah.
Then you bring Malenko and Scotty to get the crowd pumping again.
Yep.
But then the crowd goes crazy for Goldberg in the next match. And then Buck versus Rhodes in the bunkhouse with the blood. Then people can take another piss break with Mankind versus Paul White. Then Austin Hart. Then DDP Savage. Then HBK Diesel.
I like it. I like it. That's a good one. Especially with Austin Hart in the DQ and then not being – like, Savage DDP is their best match, right? I mean, I think. Is that better than the – I got to rewatch those. I don't remember if that one's better than the Halloween Havoc, but it's really good. And Austin Brett had better matches. That's not – it's good, but it's not their best. So I'm fine having that go before DDP Savage.
Right. The only issue is Austin and Brett. That was a hot feud. But, you know, these were all hot feuds, right? But you got to put the world title in an ODQ. That was a hot match, even though Diesel was on his way out. I feel like this card would be fun, but I don't even know if this hits like best of all time card.
No, and it's tough because these April shows are weird in a way where all the best matches are like concentrated into a year. Like 2000 has a bunch, 94 has a bunch. And then on the flip side, all the title matches are the best. Like if you were to say we don't care about the title thing and you just wanted to pick the best match from each card, it would look a lot different. We'd have all, you know, all the main event title matches, I think, from WWF. You'd have Rock Austin. You'd have, I guess you couldn't do Triple H Rock too, but, you know, we're fine with Dean and Scotty. But you do probably Taker Mankind. You could do Austin. April's a good month for Austin. He's involved in a lot of good matches. He was at Austin Rock. You have Austin Dude Love, Austin Brett. It was one of his better months.
Yeah. I think there's another way to look at it too, is like, it's almost like if you didn't have to pick a match from each card, but you could just pick the best matches, but not use the same wrestler twice. Like you would have like five matches from Backlash 2000 and five matches from Spring Stampede 94.
Yeah. I mean, there's an alternate world out there somewhere where we could do Vader Boss. That's my dream. But,
sure. And then Regal Pillman and, you know, we could, have, you know, I don't know, like, Regal Pillman, you know.
I don't. I remember liking
Ben,
that.
Benoit, the non family murderer with you know, Booker T. Yeah.
That's I mean, if you haven't heard that series we did on 94, it was a two part. I recommend going dig through the archives to find it because it was a lot of fun. I mean, we rewatched them and then talked about them right after. We did, like I said, all the clashes and all the pay-per-views from the whole year. You can just see it going down the toilet. Remember when Hogan comes in and then the really good Bash at the Beach. And then after that, things just start to circle the drain.
All right. How much time do we have left?
We have 5 minutes to go, guys. 5 minutes.
All right. So do you want to do another one real quick or do you think we'll have time?
Let's do another one quick.
All right, so we'll use different matches,
all
right?
Regal Pillman, go ahead.
How did you know?
Regal Pillman, let's go to 97. You want to do Ray? So you want to do everything different? We'll do everything different. So
yeah,
let's try
Ray Ultimo. I like it. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to actually put this in order, but
yeah, we'll get the matches down, the 10 matches. Let's do 98. Let's do Raven DDP here. I like that match a lot, the U.S. title
match. Do you really?
Yeah. That was like one of the DDP's kind of first well, I mean, he had the 97 series, but like one of his first big non-Savage matches. I remember like they did the Raven's Rules, and it was really a good brawl, and then Raven loses the belt the next night.
Ultimo Dragon Pin. Oh, man, let's do Ultimo Chavo.
Then we got to change Ultimo Rey.
Oh, did we pick Ultimo Rey?
Yeah.
Shit. Should I break my Benoit?
Man, it's up to you, man.
Yeah, let's break the Benoit.
So we're Booker Benoit? Well, then you can't do Regal.
Oh, okay. Benoit's out. Benoit's out. All right. Raven and DDP.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
It's a fun match. All right, 99. Yeah. I say now you break your Benoit rule, and we go Benoit, Malenko, Raven. Oh, we can't do Raven. God damn it.
How about this? 98, shit.
What if we do Vader Boss and then Booker Benoit?
No.
Oh, no, then we can't do the tag.
99, I mean, we can pick other matches. We can do...
do other matches. Goldberg Nash.
We can... we can... Let's do... Do we already have Ray? We already have Ray, right?
Yep.
Let's just do Bam Bam versus Hack.
All right.
Like the least best match from that show just because we used up all our good workers.
Fucking WCW.
They suck.
All right, now let's get Sting on the card for the hell of it. Let's do Sting and Booker T.
There's no Sting Steiner.
Do we use the U.S.? We use the U.S., DDP Raven.
No, well, if it's for the tournament, we shouldn't be using them at all. Mm-hmm. Let's put on...
Mancow, Jimmy Hart. We should have done the worst card. I think that's what we should go back and do.
Let's just do Mancow versus Jimmy Hart.
All right, so we're doing partially the worst card.
That was a hot feud, man.
We're doing partially the worst card here. All right, Backlash 99. Good Friends, Better Enemies. Ugh. Gets tough in here.
You want to do Razor Vader?
Yeah, we'll do Razor Vader. They really pepper each other pretty good in that match. It's also notable because it's Razor's last WWF match there.
Really?
Yeah, before he left for NWO World.
I did not know that.
You want to go LOD, Owen, and Bulldog?
Yeah, easy enough. Done. Man, this card kind of sucks, bro.
Oh, sucks big time. 99.
It has, like, Regal Pillman and, like, 80. That's kind of it.
All right, Unforgiven 98. Do you want to... And we could use Austin Dude as our title match, or do you want to use Austin Rock? And I guess we'll use Austin Rock in 99. Let's do Taker Kane in the Inferno. We're already throwing this thing in the toilet.
2 minutes, guys. 2 minutes.
Taker Kane in the Inferno.
Oh no! Let's. I say 98. Is that what you wanted to use for 98?
Yeah, Taker Kane.
No.
Well, I want to use Austin Rock from Backlash for our title match. So we can't use Austin Dude.
Oh, okay. I guess the shitty Taker Kane match. That'll be my extended piss break.
This whole show's a piss break. And then 2000.
What?
2000, Big Show, Kurt Angle.
No, man. Come on. 2000 has too many good matches.
Eddie S. A. Rios
is good.
We can use that tag that I talked about, Edge and Christian.
No. I'd rather have Eddie S. A.
Okay, let's go to Eddie S. A. All right, so here's our thrown together in 4 minutes, not that good show with a couple good matches. Steven Regal versus Brian Pillman, Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, Raven DDP for the U.S., Bigelow Hack at a hardcore match, Mancow Jimmy Hart, Vader Razor Ramon, LOD versus Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith, Undertaker Kane in an Inferno match, Steve Austin and The Rock for the world title, and then Eddie Guerrero, S.A. Rios for the European title.
As our main event.
That's it. That'll close the show. That was the show where he wrestled in the tux because they went to the prom before the...
Before
the pay-per-view in China.
Oh, man. How do you remember that stuff? Ugh. Man, you know what? Yeah, we'd be fired if as bookers if we put this card together.
It's not a good one. It's a rough one. I like our
first
one.
It's not that. I mean, okay. So if you look at Regal Pillman, that's a good match. Ray versus Ultimo is a good match. Raven versus DDP is a match you like. People praised Bam Bam and Hack. So right now we're batting 4-for-4. It's just when we get into Mancow versus Hart, the LOD tag match, that it'd be kind of in the Kane crap.
Yeah, you're right. So it's only a couple.
You know, there's like four. We're gonna bat like 6 out of 10. We're gonna have a thumbs up show.
It's just more when you know the potential of what April brings. It's sad to look at this thing.
I can't believe how often Mancow. I can't believe how often Man Cow is mentioned in this podcast. But guys, time is up. Sorry.
Mad Cow is better. All right, well, that was fun. I feel like we don't, you know, dive into these off-month pay-per-view months, or whatever you want to call them, the non-big ones. So that was cool. I'm sure we'll be continuing this trend. We'll see. But we'll go ahead and take a break, because to all the shows going out there for you in the world of PTBN and the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, and we'll come back. We'll see what challenge number two is.
Spoken was well. Said I was his friend, which came as a surprise.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tourneaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Lay. Sir. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
All right, Nation, we are back from break, and I hope you enjoyed challenge number one here, where we built an ultimate 1990s pay-per-view card spanning WCW and WWE. Hope you enjoyed the break as well. Make sure you subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes. Check out all our shows, including this one right here. And Dan McGinn, why don't you step back in here, reach into your bag of fun, and tell us what is challenge number two?
Well, guys, we are going to rewrite some history, so grab your pencils. We are going to rebook and dive right into the bog of eternal stench that is WCW 2000.
Ugh. All right, so this kind of, you know, fits right in where we left off. We built these April cards, and then we talked about Spring Stampede 2000. And, Will, what I think we'll do is we're going to place ourselves in the bodies, unfortunately, of Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff. And we're walking out on the night of April 10th, 2000. We are
you're Russo.
All right, that's fine, bro. So we'll come in here. We've been chosen to take over the reins of WCW because Kevin Sullivan's booking style put everything in the toilet. They thought he could maybe keep the ship afloat. So after Eric Bischoff had been fired in late 99 and Vince Russo had taken over the company from a creative standpoint, and then he was turfed in early 2000, they brought them both back to run things off screen. Put them together, the two, you know, biggest masterminds, and on April 10th, they came out and hit the reset button on the whole company. They said, we're going to, you know, turn this into an angle. We're going to, you know, again, do this on TV as well as behind the scenes. So they came out together, and they introduced what's called the New Blood. They reset the clock, and many thought maybe it would be Bischoff versus Russo on air, but they ended up doing it where they were partnered up and leading the New Blood against what would become the Millionaires Club on that night on Nitro, and I think it was the same night, or it was around that time when Bischoff did the awful scissors joke to Sid, remember, and no one got it, and he said it again because he thought no one understood what he said. And
just, it was absolutely the same night.
Yep, brutal. So, again, you know, WCW just dipping back into the bag of rehash, trying to, recapture some magic with those two guys, but also almost recapture a little bit of NWO magic, too, with the new blood and the Millionaires Club having this stable feud. So that's where we're at. We're in April of 2000. We're taking over. We're about to walk out on Nitro. And what they did is they wiped it completely clean. They stripped everyone of their championships. And then they went ahead and made a bunch of tournaments that culminated at Spring Stampede in a massive card in a bunch of really shitty matches. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about what we would do. Would we strip all the titles? Would we keep the champions in place? You know, how would we go about kind of doing the reset that they did? Any thoughts off the bat? Is there anything that jumps out
at you? I'm not resetting. I'm not a fan of, this is all fake, right, so let's reset it because we didn't like the creative direction that was before. Okay? So who was world champ at this time? Sid, right?
Sid was world champion, yes.
So we need to book a feud to get the card, to get the belt off Sid. Okay? Who's the U.S. champ?
The U.S. champion, 1 second here, I'll confirm that.
Do you know Dan? Is Dan like licking his dog or something?
I don't know what he's doing tonight. He's all over the place.
Okay.
Let's see here. April 2000, the champion vacated was Jeff Jarrett.
All right. So Slapnuts has the belt. What about the tag titles?
The tag titles were sadly not Slapnuts. Tag team champions in April of 2000 that were stripped were, and then right here, the Harris brothers, your favorites.
Oh yeah, we're gonna fire them shortly.
All right, so the Harris brothers, let's see, was there even a TV champion, or is that when the title was in the trash? Somebody was in the trash.
Yeah, probably is out. we could even use the TV champ as Jim Duggan, no? No, that'd be later. We don't need a TV champion. What about our Cruiser champion?
Cruiser was the artist who was Prince Iaukea.
Christ.
He had just beaten Billy Kidman like a couple days before.
So we really have like our work cut out because we have four of the worst champions in like wrestling history at one time.
So let me ask you this. So we're coming in, right? What do you see as the plan as far as, like, do you keep Bischoff and Russo working together? Do you pit them against each other? Are they even on TV?
I'm firing. See, because when I'm coming in, I'm firing certain people, right?
Okay. So are they even?
If you and I are Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff,
yep,
we're not on screen.
Okay, so we're off screen. I'm down with that.
We're off screen.
So the second question is, how do we grant... So we're going to keep the champions. So how do we grant contenders for Spring Stampede? Do we have contender matches on our first Nitro?
Hold on.
Okay.
I thought the idea was we're doing this. I mean, we don't have to go into Spring Stampede. We don't have to book for Spring Stampede. I thought the idea was once these guys come in, you know, we don't do I don't want to do New Blood versus.
Oh no, we don't have to do anything. But we still, I mean, we got a pay per view in 2 weeks that we got to kind of talk about.
Right. So what I'm doing is on that first night, okay, I'm looking at how do I make an impact on Nitro without getting all shooty shoot style. Right.
Right. Yeah, fuck the shooty shoot. We're not doing shooty shoot at all.
So the first thing that we have to do is you know, Sid and Goldberg had some pretty good matches in 99, right? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get that belt on Goldberg.
Okay.
Okay. Goldberg's in the picture, right? He is on the roster, yep, right? Okay. So we're getting Goldberg into the picture. All right. Do you have a problem with that? World champ, the world title series is going to be Sid versus Goldberg with the idea that we're getting the belt on Goldberg ASAP, right?
Yes. Now, are you talking ASAP as in like that night, or are you talking let's set it up for the pay-per-view?
What would you rather do? I personally would rather go Goldberg that night, comes in, Sid gives one of his rambling interviews, I'll take on anybody right now, blah, 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 blah. And then Goldberg just comes out and says, you're next. And then, you know, that's set up. That's your main event. And then Goldberg beats him in like 90 seconds.
Yep, 100% cosign.
Okay, so that's the first night. Goldberg beats Sid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then for the U.S. title, Jeff Jarrett and the Harris brothers can say, we're the best damn champions in the South, we and we're racist, we got KKK.
Buy our gold, cash for gold.
You know, cash. Oh, shit, I forgot about that, the cash for gold, yeah. Don't invest in silver, invest in gold.
We're offering cash for our gold here tonight.
Harris brothers, best damn production team there, really, blah, blah, blah. Right, so they come out, so boom. So now who are we setting up? I'm thinking for Jeff Jarrett, DDP. He comes back through the audience. I don't care what he's been doing before that. He comes back through the audience. He gives a big old bang sign, and you set up Jeff Jarrett versus DDP for that night as well. What do you think?
And DDP wins that night.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have no problem with heels winning belts, but they have to be over heels.
Yeah.
Sid, as much as I think he's funny or whatever, he's not over, right? We need to get rid of him.
No, we're basically pressing the reset button, but we're not stripping the belts. We're doing it organically.
We're doing it organically. The Harris brothers thing, oh, yeah, we're the brothers. We're the best brothers in the world, and we got SS swastikas on our tattoos and blah, blah, blah. And so then we see a reunited Rick and Scott Steiner come out.
Mm.
And Scott Steiner cuts a shoot interview and talks about his booty freaks and all that crap. And so the Steiner brothers, who, I mean, let's face it, I mean, Rick is washed up at this point in time, but we want to get this off, right? And we need name value. The problem with trying to put belts on some of these new guys, your Mike Awesomes, your Lance Storms, et cetera, they're not built up. They're not household names, right? So we want to make sure that when we do this quote-unquote reset, we're putting our belts on household names, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I think maybe this one we don't do this night. I think we save this one for the pay-per-view because the Steiners coming
Harris
out.
Harris for Steiners?
Yeah.
No, because here's what's going to happen. We're going to beat the Harris brothers on this night.
And fire them.
And then they get fired for being a.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
They get fired for being the Harris brothers and being probably the worst tag team of all time. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I really, really, really want to fire the Harris brothers.
Yeah, we're blowing it out anyway. So, all right, another title switch.
Okay. And so then we have the artist, right? And we have to get this belt off the artist,
yes.
Right? Okay. I'm sorry. I mean, instead of doing a fake tournament or whatever, we're getting the belt off the artist. But is Rey Mysterio there?
Yeah, he was with the Filthy Animals. So he's maskless.
So this is maskless. Billy Kidman's there, right?
Yep, he's in the Filthy Animals as well.
Then we're going to put on Kidman.
All right.
Yeah, right?
We got Candido floating around.
Okay, but I think Billy Kidman, you know, no offense to Candido, Billy Kidman, bigger star.
Yeah.
You know, he's popular around the biggest time of Nitro, like in 98, you know? And I'd put on Kidman. What do you think?
I think Kidman.
Are there any other belts?
I got to check where the TV was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know WCW's history.
Let me see what the TV title was. I don't remember if this is what is in the trash.
Besides the U.S., right? I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get the hardcore.
Hardcore belt. Well, I'm kind of conflicted on the hardcore belt. One thing, this is 2000, so hardcore belt is kind of a given, right?
Yeah, you kind of have to have it.
So if we have it, who has it? Who has the hardcore belt at this time? Are they doing like? Are they imitating the WWF where they just pass it around like a hot potato?
Yeah, not as bad. So the TV title was actually retired by Bischoff and Russo that night. So Duggan was champion. So we can keep it. We don't have to retire it. But that's what happened to it. So Duggan was champion.
Guys, do you want to know who the hardcore champions leading up to this point were in WCW?
Maybe.
Yeah, who's that, Basil?
We got Norman Smiley, followed by Brian Knobs, followed by Bam Bam, followed again by Brian Knobs, followed by the Three Count Stable, and then Brian Knobs.
Okay, so Knobs and Duggan we have on the other two titles here.
But we don't have to have Knobs there. In fact, we're going to fire him too. He's fired.
Well, he's going to lose his hardcore title first.
No, he just said it wasn't Brian Knobs, that it was...
No, he said Knobs, right? Was Knobs champion on April 10th?
Knobs was the champion on April 10th.
Right.
He held it for 22 days leading up to the...
That's how we put it back on Bigelow. Bigelow comes out and beats the shit out of Knobs.
Easily. I have no problem putting the belt on Bigelow. Because what we're going to do is because we're going to have a bunch of ECW guys coming in, right? We're going to have our Mike Awesomes and those guys coming in, right? We're going to make this kind of like the equivalent of like the... F the world belt in ECW.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah.
You know, something a little bit more hardcore, a little bit more. But you know, I don't want it to be kind of like, oh, let's bring our, you know, our trash can down with a bunch of weapons, you know, just a little bit, just kind of like your violent matches.
Right.
So what's going to happen here is Bam Bam Bigelow is going to break Brian Arm's arm, and his arm's going to atrophy to where he can't wrestle ever again. So he's out. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we're doing this all on one night, right?
Yeah. This is all our first night on TV still.
Yeah. I like it. So Bam Bam Bigelow versus Brian Knobs, Billy Kidman versus the Artist. Jim Duggan's like, ho, you know, what's up, people? And whatever. USA, USA, I had cancer. I'm cured now. Donald Trump, love that guy. Whatever. But who do we want to be like a credible television champion? Someone who's kind of like a mechanic. Because the radicals are gone. Your Malenkos, your Eddies, your Benoits, those guys are gone.
Right. You got Storm.
Is Lance Storm there already?
Storm came in, let's see. Nope, June. June. So he's not there yet.
So he's not there yet. So who do we put in this position?
We got Conan.
Conan actually, in Disco. A way, is not a bad. Conan's not a bad person in the sense that at least he's a name. You know what I mean?
And he was pretty popular. Rough by 2000.
But by this time, yeah. But by this time, he had lost a lot of his luster too. But 98, man, that Conan was over. You know, it's just hard. Like I don't really care about.
How about
like,
Candido for that?
Against Jim Duggan? I mean, we're trying to get the belt off Duggan here.
Booker?
Booker is bigger and better things to do. But Booker's too high up on the card. Sting's too high up on the card, right?
Yep. Luger's too high. Flair's too high.
Yeah, Ric Flair is too high. Lex Luger is
Lash
too
LaRue.
High. Yeah, not going to happen. Vampiro isn't good enough to like be your TV champ, no. Right?
Dance is Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell is damaged.
Shane Douglas we got.
Shane Douglas is going to be kind of be part of that ECW contingent. Okay.
We'll run out of names unless you want to go to David Arquette. your choice.
Oh, come on,
Terry Funk.
On.
He's pretty much garbage match at this point.
But Terry Funk is too old. Yeah, like
Stasiak.
Stasiak is horrible. Horace is horrible. Steve Gray's horrible. This is tough, man. Ugh.
Hennig's still putting around.
Is he?
Yeah. He wrestled that night against Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, but he can't be a long-term solution.
Well, no, we can have him drop it to someone at can he hold it till Storm comes in June?
Nah, it's too long. Hennig's already washed up at this time. Doesn't he die like this year or something?
No, 2003 he dies. He comes back to WWF in 02.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, good for him. I don't know. Tank Abbott's around. Are we going to fire Tank Abbott? I kind of like what he did with 3 Count, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and then he pulled the knife. Pulled the knife on a Big Al.
What? He did that?
Yeah, they had a match for the leather coat on a pole or whatever, and then...
And Bret Hart's already, like, dur-de-dur, right? Like, is he...
Well, no, he was out because... Owen hadn't died yet. I mean, could give him the TV title.
Yeah, but... he did. Owen died in 99.
Oh, yeah, right. So when... I keep thinking we're in 99. So when does he come back? Then he came back and...
Yeah, but he had already gotten his head kicked off. Like
right, a Starcade, yeah.
You know? So I'm trying to think, like... Because I'm looking at, like... Like, this roster's horrible, man. This sucks. Like, this legitimately sucks. I'm trying to look at, like, who's on Worldwide that week. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, is PG-13 in there to get me all excited? Like, man.
Barry Hole and Wendarso was there.
Finley's around. Let's give it to Finley versus Duggan, dude. That would be a great...
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with Finley. I like him. I mean, he was trolling in the hardcore division. We can use him better than that.
Exactly. And we want to get Fit Finley before he gets busted in the hardcore division. So
right there.
I like that. Do you like that, Fit Finley versus Jim Duggan?
Yeah, let's get the belt on Finley, and let's have him rough up all the new guys that come in, like they did in WWF when he went there in, like, 2006, and he beats out all the young guys.
What did he do?
Well, you know, they used him to, like, you know, rough up the young guys. He worked stiff and... It's kind of the hard ass of WWE at that time in 2006.
I like it. I like it. So on one night, I mean, we're going to switch the belts because that was like one of the worst run of champions ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg's going to beat Sid. DDP beats Jeff Jarrett. The Steiners, even though, like, I don't give a shit about Steiners, but who cares? We're gonna find a new tag team to get the belt off the Steiners. I just like the whole idea of, well, we're the best brothers ever, blah, 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 you know? Well, we're the best brothers. Even if you want to put Booker T and Stevie Ray reuniting, you know, as brothers in a three-way. I don't care. The point is, I think
Ahmed is around at this time, too, if we want to use him. Big T.
We's not using Big T.
Oh, he's looking awful at this point.
Yeah, let me make sure I write that down. Big T fired. Okay. So he's gone. All right. And so now, instead of your champions being Sid, Jeff Jarrett, and the Harris brothers, the artist Brian Knobbs and Jim Duggan.
God. I don't know why they're in such trouble.
Exactly. Your new champions are Goldberg, DDP, the Steiner brothers, Billy Kidman, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Fit Finley.
Much better place.
Doesn't it feel like a much better roster just like automatically?
Yes.
Just in one night, we did what they should have done, you know, 18 years ago or whatever, you know.
So now the question is, do we...
Who are our feuds going to be?
That's what I'm saying. How do we want to set up for this big pay-per-view we got in a couple
weeks? I'm going Goldberg versus Hulk Hogan because I still believe Hulk Hogan had name value.
Okay. Is Goldberg beat him again, or are you giving Hogan his big win back?
You're absolutely giving Goldberg the win. You say you tell Hulk Hogan, you can be a part of this, or you're going to walk in the summer anyway, right? Which is what he did.
So this is what I want to do with Hogan.
This or not.
I want to start building up Steiner, right, for the big heel challenger for Goldberg at the end of the year.
So I agree.
You do Goldberg. You have him start to beat guys. He beats Hogan. And then the next night on Nitro, he saves Hogan. So Hogan, you pair him up with someone. I don't know, like a Luger or maybe is Nash still around? I mean, we haven't talked about him. Whoever, like, his running. But yeah, I think Nash is. Was Nash? I don't see him on any of his cards. He had to be around. Was he hurt? Whatever. Hogan's in somewhere, and he gets beat up by somebody. And then Goldberg saves him. So now we turn Hogan into a. He's back to being a face, right? So he's a heel. He puts over Goldberg. And now he's back to being, even though he was a face, I think, at the time, but we're going to say he's a heel. Or do you want to do a face-face match with Goldberg Hogan? How do you want to do this? Because my thought is I want Steiner to retire Hogan in the summer of 2000 with, like, a brutal beatdown to his buddy Goldberg.
Well, right now we're just trying to get credibility, right?
All right, so this is what I think. I think Hogan's the face then. You do a face-face title match, Goldberg Hogan, a respect match. You know, hey, brother, I never got my rematch. And Goldberg's like, all right, you deserve it. We're the top dogs. Let's do it. So Goldberg beats him. Hogan shakes his hand and... You know, he's planning on retiring the next night. He comes out. Steiner comes out and shit-talks him the next night on Nitro after Spring Stampede. Interferes in his big retirement ceremony. They have a match, and then Steiner beats him and cripples him.
Okay.
Puts Hogan out with the pay-per-view after that, whatever one that
is. Like,
slambery.
Well, hold on now. We got to get the belts off the Steiner brothers.
Well, no, because my thought is Steiner, we're building him up, and he'll have multiple. He'll be tag champs. Rick Steiner is his tag punter and his backup. And his, you know, asshole running buddy. And eventually maybe you take the belts off him. But I don't think you have to get it off him because you start to build his cred. Like, he can do both. Like, he's starting to pick up titles because he's so good.
Okay.
10 minutes, guys. 10 minutes.
So who's DDP's challenger?
So DDP's our U.S. champion.
I don't want Jeff Jarrett. We're gonna put Jeff Jarrett in the tag team.
Put him in the shine box. We got... I mean, it depends. You want to dip down to, like, the Flair Luger level, or do you want to leave them alone?
Well, see...
You got Mike Awesome, too, in there.
The only problem is, okay, like I said, Mike Awesome would be, I think, a great Bam Bam Bigelow challenger. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
For that kind of, hey, we're going to have the match that we never had in ECW. Not one of these bullshit WCW matches. But, like, that match, okay?
Let's give DDP... So I think he'd be, like, him and Storm would be a good feud when Storm arrives. So we need to get DDP through, like, 2 months of U.S. title contenders.
Okay.
That would be Michael.
So who would you... So DDP... And see, the problem is, this is kind of where we have to kind of, like, walk the line of old guys, new guys, right?
Right.
Because we kind of have to go back to the guys who have credibility so we can get the new guys over right, not the Bischoff way. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we also have like your Palumbos around this time, or I guess they're not really there. They're there, but they're like on like worldwide.
Okay? Right. Yeah. They hadn't all come up yet. The Natural Born Thrillers, I don't think, had debuted. I mean, that's the stable where they all come up, where it's Sanders, O'Hare, Jindrak,
right,
and those guys.
Right. Yeah. And I think so. How about I'm just throwing a name out there because he had a lot of value. DDP versus Rey Mysterio.
So you're doing like another respect thing with the two of them?
Kind well, of, I don't DDP like. A heel? I think Hulk Hogan should be a heel.
Well, the problem is he's a face, so you're turning him quickly before the.
Oh, okay. Was DDP a face at the time?
No, I think he was a heel because he was in the whole thing with David Arquette and all that shit. Or was he a face during that? I don't know.
Yeah,
he might have been
because it was him for, he was the face.
Yeah.
Well, been no, heel but it's kind of weird because. Okay, I don't know what happened the week before or 2 weeks before because everybody that was old was automatically a face and everybody that was automatically associated with Russo and Bischoff automatically was a heel.
Yeah, he might have been a heel actually coming into it then.
So we have to go back to March 27th Nitro. Okay?
Because they took the week off in April 3rd and that's right, they shut
right.
down.
So we have to go back to it says that DDP it's DDP and Jeff Jarrett or we're feuding then too. Okay.
Jarrett, yeah, so he's a face then. Because Jarrett was always a heel.
Well, hold on, wasn't Ray a heel as part of the Filthy Animals?
No, I don't think so. They were faces, I think.
You sure?
The plan was for the stable to be WCW's version of DX, but instead of being strictly villains or heroes, they were tweeners. They pulled pranks and hijinks on both sides.
Well, so he pulls a hijinks on DDP. I just think it's a new, fresh matchup.
He fucks Kimberly and pisses him off.
Yeah, that'd be Billy Kidman. So I just think it's a new matchup that would be good for the card.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
And DDP retains, though, right? Because they're setting him up for Storm.
Yeah, but it has to be competitive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, competitive. Yeah, it's not
okay.
Squash.
And I'm not even married to Lance Storm. Like, I don't even think he's that great. So, how about Steiner Brothers versus Ric Flair and Sting?
Okay, yeah, I throw it back. Or you could do Sting and Luger, really throw it back.
You want to do, like, a match 8 years later that they had for, like, the throwback from the 92 match?
Yeah, let's do that. It's kind of like, respect. Oh, Steiners, you get the belt, so remember us, give us one more shot at your titles kind of thing. And then, because that can set up Steiner maybe hurts one of them. Maybe he hurts Luger. And that's how he sets up. Then he, hurts Hogan a month later. So I like to kind of see him start to, like, hurt these old guys as he works his way up to Goldberg.
All right. And so who do we want Fit Finlay to beat up on?
Fit Finlay. So are we doing all retentions at Spring Stampede? I mean, I guess so. We just did all title changes. So,
Not necessarily. Like Bam Bam Bigelow, I'm not afraid of like Mike Awesome.
All right, let's give Awesome Bam Bam. Yeah, let's give Awesome the hardcore.
Yeah.
At the pay-per-view. So he wins it there.
Right. I'm not even opposed to Rey Mysterio Jr. beating DDP for the U.S. belt and then like doing Rey versus Lance Storm.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I feel like DDP's got some value, though, unless you want to move him up to a main event.
DDP should be – we only did this to get Jeff Jarrett out of there, right? And then you can even have Rey Mysterio beat up on Jeff Jarrett for the next 2 months until Lance Storm comes in.
Right.
And because Jeff Jarrett is staying away from my world title.
So what do you want to do with DDP then? That maybe gets into a feud with like Flair or something after? I'm trying to think of a good use of him. But he's got a name.
Well, dude, you can do DDP Goldberg 2, which was a great match. It's probably going to be another great match, right? You can do DDP versus Sting. You can do DDP versus Terry Funk. I don't care. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, DDP ultimately is going to be up high on the card. He's going to be in your main event, co-main event until the wheels fall off.
Yep.
Okay. And we have enough people there. We can do DDP versus Booker T as your next feud.
That's true. Yeah, we haven't really talked about Booker yet. I was thinking him for Finlay, but you want Finlay to beat the shit out of someone. Oh, you think Booker's a bigger than that, though, right?
Yeah, Booker's too big for that. That's why. Who are some of the younger guys here? Like Vampiro. I'm thinking I want to fire Vampiro.
How about Candido? We haven't used him yet. Let Finlay beat the shit out of him.
Absolutely, I like it.
Finlay steals Candido. Tammy. Walks off with her and her drugs.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. And then Billy Kidman, who's his, like, who are some of the cruiserweights? I feel like you need some new, fresh cruiserweight blood here.
Reno? Was he a cruiserweight?
This is kind of...
I mean, I feel like all the luchadors are still there. Like, all those guys, they just weren't on TV a lot. But they're all still there. Like, Silver King and Vianos and all those guys. Like, they were all still trolling around, I think. They were just on Saturday night.
That's true. So, but, like, who from, like, 2000 is like, yeah, we want to see this guy some more?
Dandy was probably there.
Yeah, I think he might have gone back to Mexico by this time.
No, right here. He was on the April 1st Saturday night.
3 minutes, guys. 3 minutes.
Man, I have no idea how I'm going to build up El Dandy.
You're going to make it happen fast, I guess. You got Dandy, Silver King, Lash LaRue. I'm trying to go through Saturday night here.
Is La Parca around?
Kid Romeo. I don't know if
La Parca's around, we're doing Billy Kidman versus La Parca.
And he was over in WCW, so I don't think
he was freaking over. And I would even give the belt to La Parca as a title change.
Let's see.
I think you should let La Parca run with it. It's a new name. You know what I mean? Like, you know. So So far, this is our card. Even though
Minutes. He left in 2000. It doesn't say when.
All right, but he's going to stay because we're going to treat him better. Okay. So we got. We're going to do some accelerated booking here. Goldberg versus Hogan is our main event. DDP versus Ray. Bam Bam versus Awesome title change. Steiners versus Luger and Sting flashback match. Finley beating up Candido. Billy Kidman getting defeated by La Parca. Booker T versus Jeff Jarrett as like an undercard match to establish to Jeff Jarrett that, hey, yo, you're down there. We're going to do Ric Flair versus Terry Funk in a 10-year anniversary match or 11-year anniversary match. How's that
you
sound?
You could do Funk Shane, too, if you wanted to.
Fuck Shane Douglas. He's going to be involved somewhere in that hardcore. You know, this is Ric Flair. So we got all our big names. And so what we've done is we're trying to rebuild interest in the pay-per-view. This is an 8-match pay-per-view with 6 title matches. I think we did a good job. What do you think?
I think it's 100 times superior to what they were rolling out there at the time.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, to me, this is what you do. You open up with your Kidman-La Parca match, right? Then you go Finley Candido, okay? It almost feels like we're doing create a card, but, you know, we're really building up. We're trying to repair the damage that these shitheads did, right?
Yep.
Okay, then you do Finley Candido. Then you do your hardcore match, right?
Yep.
Then you do Booker T versus, what's his name? Jeff Jarrett. Then you do Ric Flair versus Terry Funk. Then you do DDP versus Ray. Then Steiners versus Luger and Sting. And then Goldberg Hogan as your main event.
Yep. And then I shoot my big angle the next night where Hogan comes out to announce his retirement after putting over Goldberg. And the Steiners come out and rough him up. And that sets up their big match of Slamboree, Steiner versus Hogan. And Steiner,
I like it.
Steiner cripples Hogan. And then you have him here on this show, the one we just built. He hurts Luger, so Luger's on the sidelines now. And then eventually he beats up Sting at like Great American Bash, hurts him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now we're just mowing through guys where he's just putting them all on the shelf one by one.
Like
maybe what takes out Sid. You know, we haven't used Sid yet, so maybe Steiner takes him out at one of those points. And you're building Steiner-Goldberg for Starrcade 2000. I mean, that's the match I built, too.
I like it a lot. And You're doing it to where your pay-per-views are credible. Maybe you actually get higher than a 0.1 rating for a pay-per-view, you know?
I like it. I crown Steiner at the end of the year. He's my champion going into 0-1.
And time is up.
Whoa! So there
man,
you go.
Hold on. Doesn't this freaking depress you?
Yeah.
And dude, in 30 minutes, we came up with a better plan with the talent they had than they did. You know, it's just astounding.
Well, what's more depressing is if you go 3 months earlier and look at the roster they had, or if you go back to fall of 99 before Russo came in and look at the roster they had, and it's like, what happened? I mean, the guys they had, it was amazing. I mean, the talent dropped off by this point, but we still made it work. But just imagine what we could have done if we did, like, November 99 with what they had, you know what I mean? Or
well, it was obviously it was egos, right? It was creative control. It was injuries. It was drugs.
Money.
You know, money. I mean, it was a short-sighted vision of instead of looking at like, guys, okay, WWE's beating us, but they're on a rocket, just like we were on a rocket in 96, 97. It's okay. You know, rockets fall, right? And, you know, let's make sure we just put on the best possible product, you know?
I think a more interesting time even to do would be if when we get to the summer doing the show, if we do August 99 when Bischoff got fired, I think that's where the turning point really was for the company, because then they end up bringing Russo in and things go to hell. I think August 99 to me is like the real fulcrum for WCW. It's like that's when things tipped over. I think it was still salvageable then. Like the ratings weren't awful, and like they still had a lot of talent, and you know, there were a lot of people interested in wrestling.
Well, they had already killed off pay-per-view though, because of how horrible Nash was as a booker. I feel almost like you have to go pre-Nash.
Yeah, but I feel like you still had people like ordering the pay-per-views and like, out of habit. Like, I don't know. I feel like 99, there was still. I mean, if you look at that January 4th, 99 show, they still got a big rating. I mean, I know things kind of fell apart, but
right.
I think well, in that, August you can still
that's
save.
True.
You know?
That's true. I think if we go back that far, you kind of like go back to Goldberg, right? And like, okay, we screwed up by putting this thing on Nash. Get it back on Goldberg and write this ship as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's what we do. So, all right, why don't we write this ship and we'll take a break. We'll come back for our final fall and we'll come back and talk some mail as well.
I didn't want
you. In my lifetime, I caught smaller cases, but I had capital. Hypocritic system let me right back at you.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, we are back here, the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast, episode number 20. Hope you're enjoying things, as always. We rebooked April 2000 WCW. We built an all-time 90s card. We got one more game to go. I'm sure we'll keep up some kind of theme here, and then we'll dive into our mailbag. So, Mr. McGinn, why don't you step in and tell us what is challenge number 3.
Fellas, let's have ourselves a good old-fashioned live watch. And we're all in the mood for WrestleMania. Will's always in the mood for Triple H. So let's watch Daniel Bryan versus Triple H from WrestleMania 30.
All right. Now, this is a callback. And I know we talked about it on a couple episodes ago. We were debating this match, and Will mentioned he hadn't seen it since he was there live. I haven't really seen it anytime recently. We were arguing its merits as possibly the greatest opening match of all time. There was a lot of debate about this as well when we did our all-time WrestleMania match ranking project, PlaceMania.com. If you haven't checked it out, we did that in 5 parts. We ranked all 300 matches, and there was argument about that as well with this versus the Owen versus Bret. You know, how does it stack up with that? So with all that debate going on, even though WrestleMania is in our rearview mirror, we thought we'd go ahead and watch the match, so we did mention it. We'll talk about it. We'll see if it holds up. It's about 25 minutes long, and we'll wrap up a bit at the end. So if you want to join us, Will, what is the exact timestamp we're at?
I have the timestamp at 35 minutes exactly, at the 35-minute mark. And if you're saying, well, it's the opener, why is it 35 minutes? It's because we had to go through Austin, Rock,
and Hogan
yeah. at the beginning. And just get an idea of what's on the screen. Stephanie is looking at Triple H, about to turn her head, and she has her hand on his chin.
They just get their kiss in, and of course, We are all watching this on the network, so that's, you know, if you're watching on DVD or something else, I don't know if the timestamp will be exact, but if you're watching on the network, that's where we're at, 35 even. So I'm going to go ahead and count us in. We'll hit play, and then you can join us on the adventure as we talk about this match and break it down as it goes. So, guys, I'll count you down on the count of three. 3, 2, 1. Go ahead. All right. So, of course, I mean, the feud here, I mean, everyone knows. We're not, you know, our last live watch, we went back to like 19, whatever it was, 62 or whatever. So I think I was a little bit more familiar with what's going on.
That was awesome.
Of course it was. I really love that match. But we're ahead about 40 years here. 50 years? 50 years. Jesus Christ. To talk about Daniel Bryan, Triple H. Of course, Bryan, many thought he'd win the Rumble. He didn't. And then the fan movement happened. He ended up taking over Raw. Had the big moment on top of the cage in early January that would kind of started things off. And then here we are. He's fighting Triple H with the winner moving on to face Randy Orton and Batista at the end of the night for the championship. Now, you were there, right, Will?
No, I was not there.
Why do you think you were there?
I was at the WrestleMania 28 and the one here in Dallas this
That's
year.
Right. I thought you were there for some reason. We did have some people in the house. I know Chad Campbell was there. Dan and I actually watched this together at Bonehead, so we were one of the first WrestleMania we watched there. So that was fun. It was a great crowd and a great atmosphere. And even now, you can see the Superdome just going nuts for Bryan.
Well, he was so over, man. I mean, he just one of those. I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but kind of just a guy who was Teflon, man. People love this guy. It's such a shame what they did with him. They could have done so much more with him prior to the injury.
And do you feel, would the story here have been as good if they did it naturally without the fans pushing them? Like if they just kind of built the story from SummerSlam where he gets screwed and fights his way up and wins the Rumble, is everyone, I mean, I know everyone's still into it, but is it the same as it was with this release here? Because everyone fought so hard and you knew they were fucking him, but we won them over. You know, do you think that actually ended up helping it in the end?
Well, it's hard to say, right? Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Only in the sense that if they would have given it to him when they wanted him, right?
Right.
If they would have given it to him earlier, I mean, the yes chant was over way before this, right?
Yeah, and he beat Cena at SummerSlam. I mean, so he had been champion before.
Right. And then instead of having that horrible Orton feud, you know, I'm saying the matches were okay, but it was just horribly booked,
right?
I mean, people were requesting their money back,
yeah,
you know, because they were promised a champion or whatever. And I think, and I've always had this philosophy, man. Yeah, it was a great moment, but it could have been a great year for Daniel Bryan.
Right.
You know what I mean? Instead of a great moment, it could have been a great title run. And that's kind of like the trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he still could have had like the great WrestleMania main event.
I mean,
and you don't get a complete rejection of Orton and Cena at the Rumble like you did.
And you probably if Bryan's champion, you probably don't get everyone turning on Batista. So you could sell Batista win the Rumble, and you could do Batista-Bryan for the title.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to.
Batista's already gone on record saying he would have laid down for Bryan, no problem.
Right. So, I mean, he could have done that. So early going here, Bryan just kind of frustrating Triple H, and Stephanie was on fire on this whole night.
I mean, let's get real. This company books despite itself.
Right.
It's not just spiting the fans. I mean, they make things harder on themselves because of their tunnel vision and myopia.
And they fell ass backwards into the – I mean, they were forced there, but they fell into this red hot night. And it was kind of karma in a way. I mean, it sucked for Daniel Bryan, but karma in a way that they waited so long to get behind this guy when he was over for 2 years before. And then he breaks down as soon as they finally give it to him. You know, it's kind of – it almost reminded me a lot of like RVD, if you remember – you know, he was red hot. They never gave him the win. By the time they put the belt on him and trusted him, he got busted for pie. You know, it was like it was biting them in the ass for waiting so long to get behind him.
It's like you knew RVD was going to get busted for pot sometime. You know, that was going to happen someday.
So why not give it to him when he was molten hot in 01 and 02?
Right, yeah.
So same thing with Bryan. I mean, you knew he had a lot of wear and tear on his body, had been around for a while. The likelihood that at some point he was going to fall apart. But they kept waiting and waiting and, you know, not realizing quite what they had.
Yeah, and early on, you know, they do some solid mat work that Brian controls, because we saw Reigns and Hunter try some mat work this year, and it fell really, really flat, mm-hmm. whereas this is kind of like Brian kind of controlling, you know, Hunter's game right here. What do you think different? I mean, do you think the difference is just like, because think about Roman Reigns and the reaction he's gotten for like the last year, year and a half. Dude, they were chanting for Roman Reigns to win this Rumble instead of Batista.
The Reigns thing is weird because everyone, I feel like, still liked him coming in here. And he was a real victim of circumstance early on. Like, the only reason he got really dumped on in 15 was because everyone wanted Bryan to win. And then it kind of, the momentum overwhelmed it to where it turned around from like him just kind of being wrong place, wrong time and getting in the way to the fans just hating him as a result. And, you know, I'm not absolving him because a lot is on him for not really improving along the way. And even though he's had some really good matches and his match with Brock was awesome. And, you know, even that match with Big Show last year was really good. I mean, he's had really good matches.
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think it has anything to do with Roman Reigns' ability whatsoever. Like zero zilch.
None. Well, no. It definitely didn't, but he hasn't helped his cause. Like, I feel like I feel like he hasn't won people over. You know what I mean? Like, he could still win people back
but
over.
No, he is not booked to win people over. Yeah, he's booked to be a loser. He's booked to be a woulda, coulda, shoulda guy. He's booked in a way. But because right now the fan base has dwindled to basically your hardcore of hardcore wrestling fans, Roman Reigns, the reaction, I've said this on other podcasts, the reaction to Roman Reigns is a protest against the company, not a protest against Reigns himself.
Right, which is why I think they did him no favors and they've damaged him when they should have backed off last year and rebooted him a bit and said, all right, we're going to – I mean, at this point, they've effectively killed him, whereas they could have backed off and taken a breath and just said, okay, let's hold off. I mean, they made two mistakes. One, they probably should have just had him keep the title at WrestleMania because he was way more over last year than he was this year. So at least
I'm sure
they're regretting that decision, you know, quite a bit, especially since what happened with the ratings with Rollins won and everything. Also, you know, the match this year was just a bad decision across the board because the show was so long. And by that point, no one wanted a 28-minute match between those two guys. And no one was into Reigns enough. And the storyline just spoke to, you know, the authority needing to just get killed. You know, Stephanie does that monologue. Triple H has the big, you know, masturbatory entrance. And blah. They needed to just do, and I've said this a few places before, I would have had a redux of Sheamus Bryan. You have Triple H kiss Stephanie, turns around, walks into a spear. Boom. Get out of there. You know, get out of the show. Because it was already long enough. No one would have been mad or ripped off if the Mania main event went 30 seconds. It probably would have actually gotten a big pop because everyone would have been happy to be done.
Okay. Let's get back to the action here.
Daniel Bryan, that Bryan's dive injured. Off the top, by the way, was crazy.
Right. He does a dive off top. His arm's injured. So now Hunter is about to pedigree him on a table, but Bryan blocks it. I mean, we got so caught up in what was going on, JR, that we had to get back to the match.
Absolutely. And that dive off the top, it was like a somersault senton, and he splattered hard on the mat. And then even that right now where Hunter, he blocked the pedigree, Hunter snapped his arm across the table. And also, did you catch the bruise on Hunter's thigh? It's pretty nasty, too.
Yeah. Well, this is where the match really gets good because this is where Hunter sees that arm's damaged. I mean, mm-hmm. he had the wrap on it already. But he sees the damaged arm, and Bryan sells the arm the entire time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing you never have to worry about with Daniel Bryan, right, is selling the limb or whatever's
right.
been worked on.
I also think it's something that, you know, like Hunter knows how to wrestle. I think he's a horrible wrestler because he knows how to wrestle, but he doesn't do the most effective things in his matches. In other words, here he is working on the arm, right? How many Hunter Hearst-Helmsley matches would have been improved greatly if he simply worked over a body part?
Right. The problem is the big problem with Hunter Hearst-Helmsley is at Triple H is that he was champion for so much or in the main event picture for so much, and he felt as champion or as challenger, all those matches had to be epics because he grew up in you know, the Ric Flair mindset of, you know, the 80s where the champion always had these long matches, right? So, I mean, it was a twofold problem. That was chicken or the egg. You know, it's like he felt that every main event title match should be a long, you know, big, long, dramatic match, and he was always champion. So he's, you know, instead of actually just kind of having these faster paced matches or focused on a body part, work it over, he'd have these long, drawn out, epic type matches, and he just isn't a wrestler to fit that style.
Hold on, man. This isn't a short match. This is a 25-minute match.
But it's not worked in that. Like, you know what he's going
That's
for.
That's what
like,
I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying is Hunter has the tools.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I don't think he is as smart as he claims to be.
Right. That's, I think we're saying the same thing. We're saying that because it's not a main event match. It's not a championship match. So he didn't feel the need to go into that Shawn Michaels, Triple H, you know, Batista, Triple H, Jerry, like that big masturbatory, we're going for an epic Broadway kind of, you know, it's like here he's just, it's a simple match they're trying to tell because he's trying to keep this guy out of the main event. So it's a different, he wrestled that mindset at the right time here, but the problem was he was never in these types of matches throughout that whole run. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Whereas if he would have kept it simple, because if you look at Ric Flair matches, yeah, there's a lot of go-go and there's a lot of long matches. But I'm giving Ric Flair props here, man. Ric Flair knew how to build a match.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he went for the matches he thought Ric Flair was having, but he didn't know how to do them.
Right. You know, I mean, but here, I mean, it's just, I mean, all he's doing is working that arm over and Brian's selling the hell out of the arm. And it's so effective. And Triple H, I mean, I know that your buddy Scott likes him. And, you know, I know Scott likes bad wrestling. Okay, that's fair enough. You know, but he could have gone down legitimately as a great if he just kept it simple. And, you know, and the booking too, right? I mean, this is a match where, I mean, everybody knows Brian wins this match, okay? But Triple H didn't know when to lose. You know what I mean? And when he did lose, he made sure everyone knew it was him doing business. It wasn't him getting beat by a better man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, him, Shawn Michaels, I mean, they were, I mean, I hate to say this, they were little bitches about it is what they were. They weren't professionals. They were bitches about losing their matches. I mean, I'm a guy who believes wins and losses matter, but the way you win and lose matters just as much, you know? So, I mean, but the work Hunter's doing here is awesome. I mean, every time Brian tries to fight out of what Hunter's doing, Hunter finds a new way to work on that arm. And now he's got him hooked in a crossface.
Another nasty spot we didn't mention was Triple H did a hammerlock drop on the apron, at the edge of the apron, and Brian flopped to the floor off of it. That was really nice, too. That was a couple minutes ago.
So yeah, yeah.
And here, Hunter's working the crossface here.
Yeah, I was talking about Brian selling at that point. Yep. Yeah, but I wanted to get that bigger point in.
So, really wrenching the shoulder, too, as he's selling it. And I mean, Hunter's on point. I mean, this is, you know, we'll talk about it at the end, but definitely one of his best, greatest matches of all time, if not his best.
I can't think of too many better than this.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of that stuff that people were praising in 2000 and 2001, that stuff just doesn't hold up.
I mean, a couple do here and there, but it's, you know, this is up there regardless. And even a move like that where he does an arm wringer and then just yanks him hard to the mat. And it's great because the whole storyline is about what such a bully he was to Daniel Bryan. And that's spilling into the match. Like that's what's, you know, that's why he's working it so well. And that's why it's so impressive that he's doing it here is that he's playing right into the storyline of bullying Daniel Bryan. He's this little guy. He's got a busted arm and Hunter's just beating the piss out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, Triple H has always been someone who's always had the advantages. You know, you have a pay-per-view. He's the one who gets the no DQ stip. He's the one who gets the street fight. Until recently when Lesnar decided he wanted to be the big bleeder, he always got to bleed in his feuds to kind of get the feuds over, right? He's had all the advantages. But when you look at it where he's given to Brian, it's almost like, you know, because CM Punk refused to wrestle Triple H, okay? He said, I do not want to wrestle Triple H. I don't want that to be my Mania match. I don't want – and plus, CM Punk was booked to lose that match against Triple H. This is Hunter proving, oh, I can do business. I can put over the younger talent, you know? It's almost like, I mean, we did. We backed into this match as kind of like an FU to CM Punk. Give Brian the main event, and Triple H gives Brian the win.
That was a great spot there, too. Brian reverses a German, hits one of his own into a bridge. and then a second into another bridge, and you know, Hunter barely kicks out of both, and here comes a third. I didn't realize Punk was supposed to lose to Triple H here. I knew.
Oh no, that was good. Yeah, that was part of the plan. Punk was going to lose to Triple H. I don't think Triple H would ever allow CM Punk to pin him ever.
So you think he would? I mean, I know the staph infection was part of it too, obviously, because he was hurt at that point. Punk.
Yeah, but all that stuff. Punk's worked through injuries. So, I mean, Punk had like a broken skull and wrestled. I mean, Punk, when Punk's passionate, man, there's no one better and there's no one more committed to getting into that ring. You know what I mean? All of that other stuff was compounded.
Well, the Punk thing, too, is interesting because it's like, you know, you didn't want him to leave, but in a way, if he stayed, I don't know if this show is, you know, I don't know how the show goes. I don't know if he can be any better than what we got. It almost reminds me of like a WrestleMania 8 where everyone's like, how could you not do Hogan Flair? Oh, my God, Hogan and Flair. You know, you have Hogan and Flair. You don't do it in WrestleMania. You have to do it at WrestleMania. You didn't do it, and I don't know if the car would have been better. You know, you got Savage Flair, which was awesome. So it's one of those things where it's like you hate to lose the guy or not do the match. You know, you think it's a big deal, but in the end, we almost got something that probably is a lot better.
Maybe. You know, I always contended that, you know, they had Daniel Bryan super over face. They had CM Punk who was doing his heel run. They should have done a more extended Bryan Punk feud, you know.
Yeah.
That mattered instead of being your work rate feud. But anyway, this is also, we just saw about a minute ago where Hunter does his, what is it, Tiger Suplex.
Yes. And now he's trying for a superplex, but Brian's fighting him off. And the image of the crowd is going nuts behind him with the yes as he's
going nuts.
Yeah.
During all of the matches that we saw this past WrestleMania, nothing compared to this match that we're watching right now.
No, I mean, in fairness, I mean, I don't know how many could. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this is a special kind of moment. Even if they were clicking and putting the right guys in the right place, this was such an organic story. And this was like a lightning in a bottle kind of thing. This was like Austin, you know, 98. I mean, it's hard to ever replicate something like this with
a guy.
I'm
not saying replicate. I mean, dude, I've watched thousands of wrestling matches. It's not hard to replicate fan noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but not this. This was like next level atmosphere because of what Daniel Bryan meant. This wasn't just like an excited crowd with a lot of heat. You know what I mean? This was like, I don't know. This to me was like life or death kind of match with the crowd.
I'm sorry, man. I saw Rock Cena live. It was much more heated, much more once in a lifetime than this. But
yeah, but not yeah. But to me, the stakes, the fan stake had the fan stake in Daniel Bryan was so much here, especially because Hunter. I mean, say all you want about Hunter, and many have. One of the byproducts of him being such a prick and like the way he's done his, you know, handle his career and, you know, the way he's been booked is that in these situations, he's done so much wrong that it's, even though, you know, Brian's going to win the match, like you're pretty confident he's going to win. You know, there's a little bit of hint of like, well, Hunter,
okay. I think you're about to say what I was about to object to. Yeah, I had no idea if Ryan was going to win. I didn't think they were going to pull the trigger.
I mean, you kind of did, but it, to me, it was like Benoit 20. It's like you knew he had to win, but there was just enough there in place to make you wonder if they were actually going to screw him again. You know, and that's where we had a big contention with this match versus Bret and Owen on our WrestleMania list because, you know, the argument was, by some, including me, that it was pretty well obvious to me that Bryan was going to win. Now, maybe you didn't feel that way. I thought it was pretty clear.
I have zero faith in this company. I have zero faith in Triple H. To me, it wasn't 100%.
But Bret Owen, I don't think anyone thought Owen Hart was going to win that match. I mean, that was like a huge upset. And that was kind of my rationale to why it worked better in some ways, and that it was such a massive upset. As Owen like built his credibility in the WWF fans' eyes.
Hold on. We have to mention the spot that just came on. So Daniel Bryan goes for the flying headbutt. Hunter puts up the knee and hits the shoulder with the knee. I mean, come on. No, this is so much better, so much higher level than Bret Owen. I like Bret Owen, but to me right now, rewatching this and rewatching the struggle here and the arm work, this is easily far and away better than that one.
I don't know. Maybe we should watch Bret Owen next episode and see. I've watched it more recently than this, but that was such a tactical masterpiece too, Bret Owen. The thing I like about Bret Owen is that Owen coming in had like no credibility in WWF fans' eyes. You know what I mean? He was just a high energy, Brett's little brother, and he builds the cred throughout that match, like going toe to toe with Brett. And it almost felt like they were going to do the hard fought loss, and then he wins the match. Like, to me,
I see what you did there with the high energy.
You like that, huh? He does. You know, to me, like, it made him a star, that match. It was like out of nowhere, because you figured he'd do the match. He hangs, and he comes up just short at the end, but you get the respect. But no, he actually wins the match on Brett's biggest night. So, I mean, I think the story there shouldn't get overlooked, besides the fact that it was an awesome match, Brett and Owen.
Yeah, now I like this struggle here, because we have Daniel Bryan now reversing the crossface that Hunter has been applying for so long, you know. Or, yeah, the yes lock, crossface, whatever.
The good torque on Hunter's shoulder, too. I mean, yeah, this is easily Hunter's best match in years. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's one that even, like, when's the last time he had one that even came close to what he puts out here? I mean, depends if you're into the gory stuff like him and Flair had in 05, but.
Yeah, even that stuff wasn't better than this.
No. I'm just trying to think anything that he had that was, like, you know, maybe in the conversation. Maybe the Cena. I haven't seen the Cena match in a while.
No, not even close. Even the struggle to reach the rope is pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
And Stephanie wanting to grab his hand to pull it, but knowing she can't.
Who do you think so far, Dan, at this point? Holding up for you?
Yeah, it's amazing to me how things have changed in the last couple of years. Just the excitement level. Just watching this past WrestleMania, I've never been or never seen an atmosphere for a Triple H match in quite some time, a Triple H main event that just fell so flat. And I know that he's had it in the past, but this match is just night and day compared to what we just witnessed.
And then Brian goes flying out of the ring, hits Triple H with the diving headbutt through the ropes, and now he's hitting it again, hits a second one, and still on the shoulder all throughout. What are your thoughts on, you know, we keep talking about Triple H's best performance. I mean, I like Stephanie as a heel. I think, like, you know, she's really good at it. I thought this was one of her best nights. I mean, she was just on point this whole night. She looked great. She was a real bitch at ringside. She's a bitch in the main event. You know, I think she's just playing as just as big a role as Triple H is from a heel point of view in a lot of this.
Yeah, but Stephanie from 2000 was so much better that, you know, I mean, it's like.
But I feel like she rekindled it a bit. You know, I mean, like she had been missing that mojo for a while, but in this feud and in this match on this night.
Yeah, of course. But that's what I'm saying, though, is that, like, I guess I have a hard problem because she emasculates so many people, so many nights that. Like, I'm so glad right now that she's off the TV screen, even if it's just for a couple of weeks, you know, because.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm done. I'm done with her act. I'm done with Triple H's act. You know, put him in the Hall of Fame next year. Get him out of here. Just go away. Please, please, please go away.
Probably not happen. So Brian hit the series of kicks, got the near fall. The crowd just on the edge of the seat now. Again, stakes are super high for this one. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going back to the, you know, who expected to win. I was definitely, I was in the camp that I thought he would win, but to me that, and going back to my own Triple H, is that you just never knew with Triple H. It was always that.
You never know. That's why I never have faith in him. I mean,
well,
I
that's
think
what makes moments
I
like this
so
great.
I was on a podcast where I argued that, you know, because I heard that Triple H, Reigns wasn't going to go on last. That was supposed to be Taker and Shane going on last.
In retrospect, I guess it didn't matter either way.
Somebody, maybe it was Zellner or somebody else on a React show or something, was like, oh, no way. Triple H learned his lesson. He's already been – maybe it was just a phone conversation.
I was saying that too. That's what I said. I said the same thing. I'm like, there's no way. After he did it twice in a row, he's not doing it again. And then
he has too big of an ego. He thinks he's the game. You know, he sucks.
Brian goes for the running knee. Hunter hits a spine buster and then into the pedigree, but Brian kicks out of the pedigree. So at least they gave him that too. Because a lot of times you see Hunter have these matches where he'll put the guy over, but he won't let him kick out of the pedigree. Here he lets him do that too, which was good.
As he should.
Yeah, of course.
Why is his finisher the only protected finisher in the whole freaking company?
And I shouldn't say always. I mean, they've definitely been guys more.
Oh, he's the only one that gets finisher that never. That
I mean, Flair kick. I'm trying to think of who else off the top of my head. I don't know. There's been guys that have kicked out of it. Batista, Flair.
So rare. And if you want to say that kicking out finisher should be rare, fine. Then Kevin Owens should be kicking out of three,
right?
Whatever. And Undertaker and Brock Lesnar should be kicking out of three tombstones and four F5s and all that crap. You know, I mean, can't have it both ways.
No, I agree. I mean, to me, Brock can kick out of whatever, but anyone else should not. Brock's presented as superhuman, so it's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, even the way they presented him, it's lost his luster.
Yeah.
I mean, but with Brock, you have to have the right opponent, you know. And guys,
I would have never taken the title off of Brock. To me, he'd still be champion.
That's fair. If he would have worked more days, actually, he didn't even need to work more dates. Just once a month at the pay per view.
That's it. Every pay per view. You can do a number one contender match sometimes, and then
But you want to see Brock, you're going to see him on the network,
right? That's it.
And the rest of the time, you're going to see Paul Heyman. That's what I would have done with Brock, but you know, whatever. They already threw that one in the can.
I also think they should have done Reigns Brock again this year. That was another mistake of theirs.
We did our rebook. Remember that was one of the matches we considered for our rebook.
That's right.
You know, yeah, I'm with you, man.
So Brian trying to fight through another pedigree here, and he does. Wriggles free, but Hunter goes right to the side of the head and the shoulder with the knee. So again, really focused. The comebacks have all been well timed by Brian and getting cut down nicely by Triple H.
Yeah, no, this has been seriously a Triple H match that I've enjoyed.
Another pedigree reversed. Kick to the head. I think we're coming towards the finale here. Brian hits the corner. Misses the kick. Oh, maybe not. I thought that was the finish. And there it is. Running knee to the face. And the one, and the two, and the three. And Daniel Bryan moves on to the main event of WrestleMania 30.
Yes, he does.
So what's your snowflakes on this one?
I don't do snowflakes, but I will say easily better than Bret Owen.
I think we're going to rewatch Bret Owen. I need to see him close together. We should have done them both tonight. I got to see him close together.
I don't really care if I ever see Bret Owen again, just saying.
It's so different than Bret Owen. I don't know. That's what's hard about comparing these matches. Like, to me, they're both perfect in different ways. I don't know. I have a hard time saying one's better than the other.
It's because you have a soft heart for nostalgia.
No, I just watched it recently and I still love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm being kind of a jerk about it, but the reality is, man, I mean, I'm all for, you know, WrestleMania openings being like the match of the night, you know?
Right.
I really, I'm fine with that. I believe that if you get a crowd open like on these matches, that's why I don't like the ladder formula. Oh, well, we'll just have our six-man ladder match to open the show or whatever, you know? I like the idea of having like a big time main event or a great work rate match kind of opening the show, setting the tone, you know. I just think that last couple of years, booking wise, they've completely missed the mark on what could have been really like special moments.
So post match here, Triple H just beat the shit out of Brian's shoulder, and that would set up this is the show long story where they cut back to in the back and, you know, can he go? Will he be able to make it to the main event? Really setting up, you know, not only the great selling of this match, the great story of this match, you automatically set up now even more of an underdog story in the main event when, again, you know, some here were unsure if Triple H would win. And then you get to that match, it's kind of like, well, you know, Batista came back, they promised him the belt, he won the Rumble, is he going to, you know, does Brian come up short due to the injury? So the brilliant, you know, brilliant structure and booking all around. Dan, what do we got for time?
1 minute.
Okay. So, Will, I mean, I guess, and if you like it better than Bret Owen, so you're saying it's the best Mania opener of all time?
Without a doubt.
I mean, you know, certainly like, sets the tone.
Like, no question. No, not even close.
No, I mean, it was an awesome match. I can't think of anything they could have done differently. So, I mean, I guess to me that makes it a perfect match. I mean, I can't think of a spot that was bad, a move that went wrong, booking point or plot point that was off. I mean, everything was pretty well done. There's nothing in my mind. There's nothing to really criticize about it. It was done perfectly executed, and the crowd was super into it. So
And time is up.
Whoa! All right. Before we get to mail, quickly direct you over to placetobenation.com. You can go ahead and check out everything that's over there. We are on facebook.com/placetobenation, Twitter, place2benation, Tumblr, Instagram. You can find us on iTunes. You search Place to Be Podcast. You can search PWO-PTBN or The Kevin Kelly Show. All three of those feeds, we have shows, you know, pumping out left and right, tons of material out there now. And if you haven't hopped over to Pro Wrestling Only, there's the Greatest Wrestler Ever project going on that's basically culminating now. So it's been years in the making where a bunch of guys, you know, you guys nominated wrestlers, you went through, you did research, everyone submitted lists, and now you're breaking down the list to see who are the, you know, crown the greatest wrestler of all time, and doing slow reveal kind of day by day. Stephen Graham really running point on this thing, and there's tons of podcasts, tons of audio on it, whether it's Matt D and our friend Stacy, whether it's you know, the guy, Stephen Graham himself, Tim Livingston, who did the Charles? I'm trying to think of Charles did like the 9-hour, three-part edition of Wrestling, you know, Wrestling with the Past, going through the list, him and Tim. Him and Childs, rather. So many names involved in this thing, Will. I'm losing track of them all. But it's a great project. If you're interested in listening to the audio or checking out the results, hop over to ProWrestlingOnly.com. You can follow along and listen to all the audio as well. That's going to be coming up both over the past week and still to come, too. So lots there. All of our podcasts have been up and running. We got a new Kevin Kelly Show coming up this Monday. Scott and I hit episode 401 of the Place to Be podcast this past Monday. We looked at Royal Rumble 2006. A lot of baseball stuff cropping up, too, as opening day was last Sunday. So we're about a week into the season now. So plenty of baseball stuff out there for you at PlaceToBeNation.com. Be sure to check it all out. Between the Sheets, Exile on Bad Street, Sports Evolution, all the podcasts each and every week just for you. Tons of audio. You can never be bored if you subscribe to our feeds at PlaceToBeNation.com. So, Dan McGinn, why don't we do 7 minutes of mail beginning right about meow.
We're going to the party. We're going to the game. We ain't going to the disco. Ain't gonna cruise out, man. We're stealing people's mail. Stealing people's mail.
You've got mail.
Fellas, our leadoff hitter is Rocket Crypt. He writes, HBO has commissioned a fly-on-the-wall-style sitcom to document the death of TNA. You're in charge of all the casting decisions. Dixie, Hogan, Russo, Ryder, go.
So it was a lot there. So we're writing a movie on the death of TNA, is that what you're saying?
A fly-on-the-wall-style sitcom is
what...
Oh,
okay. All right, sitcom. Okay.
Russo is now an aged Joey Lawrence.
Aged Joey Lawrence. Whoa. So do we have Blossom? Is Dixie Blossom? Is that what you're saying?
No, come on. Dixie Carter would have to be like named like kind of like a well, I was actually going to say who's the one who had like a lot of weight problems from the 80s? She was like on the Southern Belle show. It was Dixie Carter, wasn't it?
Jesus Christ, Dan, try and find what the hell was it? Designing Women? Is that the show you're thinking
Yeah,
about?
Yeah.
Designing Women with Annie Potts and...
No, who was the main woman, though?
I think it was Dixie Carter, actually.
Was that her name?
I think so.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Shit, no. But, okay, so that's
Dixie Carter, you're right.
Delta Burke?
Delta Burke is what I was thinking of.
She's,
for the win.
Delta.
But Dixie Carter was the actual actress's name.
That's hilarious. I guess that's why I had it on my mind, man.
Although,
unless you're like 35, 40, you wouldn't have any idea what we're talking about. So,
Delta Burke. That'd be ODB, I guess. It'd be Delta Burke, right?
Yeah, really.
Samoa Joe.
You know, then you have, who was the Roseanne husband? What was his name?
Dan Connor. John Goodman.
John Goodman. He could be Big.
Oh, I like that
big
one. That's a good one.
What's big, what's his name? What's
John Burke, so it's close.
Junga Burke, yeah.
Junga Boodman. Who else we got? The Hardys are still running around. You got a Matt or a Jeff Hardy? Who can they be?
I don't know. Who's a drug addicted Hollywood star right now?
Corey Haim and Corey, the two Coreys. They can be the
two Coreys. One of them's dead. That'd be kind of hard.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's it. I'm done with this question. Move on. This is a tough one.
Next one is from Beast. He would like to hear a periodic segment in the mailbag where JR and or JT and Will have to recommend a match or segment for the other to watch or rewatch. Since your tastes are both different, they overlap, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sure you have personal favorite moments that should be seeked out. So basically, he wants to know what you would recommend to each other.
Brett versus Owen at WrestleMania 10. I want Will to watch.
Are you kidding me? I've seen that match.
Demolition and the Colossal Connection at WrestleMania 6.
Okay, you gotta go a little bit more obscure than this crap.
All right, what do you got? What are you going to throw at me?
Easy, easy, easy. Mid-South, Jim Duggan versus Buzz Sawyer in a fight that culminates into the back of the arena. And it ends up with Jim Duggan cussing out Buzz Sawyer at the end.
I'll give you Haku and Hercules from WrestleMania 5.
Oh, Christ, you suck.
I know, I'd have to think. Go to the next question, Dan. I'll try and think while we're going through.
Jesse Uyak writes, it's the day before WrestleMania 1. For some reason, Bad News Allen is visiting the WWF locker room and walks in on Hulk Hogan using the N-word. What does Vince do to rebook WrestleMania while they wait for Hogan to get out of traction?
This is WrestleMania 1?
Mm-hmm.
So Bad News Brown wandered in, Hogan's in traction. Well, I was going to say, Bad News Brown, you're fired, pal! But he wasn't with the company, so he just shows up, beats the shit out of Hogan. I don't know, who's your de facto number two? Andre? Snuka?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to go Snuka Piper for that belt.
Yeah, that's probably your best bet. I mean, JYD, maybe? Yeah, I mean, I think Snuka Piper's the hottest feud right after that. At least his, you know, had you know, drawn well the year before, recent success. Vacate the belt and go Snuka Piper. I think it's your best bet. All the bells and whistles around it, too.
I agree.
All right, Goodyear writes, you are going to build a birdhouse. Would you rather have a Steiner screwdriver or a burning hammer?
Oh, Christ. let's do the burning hammer every day.
God, the Steiner screwdriver is so sick.
Yeah.
He hits one on a jobber on, this is the match you can watch. It's one of the earliest Raws. It was a Steiner squash that was just disgusting. They beat the shit out of these guys, and then he crushed them with a screwdriver to end the match. Was just really gross. That was such a gross move. Have you seen I'm sure you've seen it, but to me it's one of my favorite matches. Steiner versus Bret and Owen?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's a great match. All right, I don't know. It just popped in my head. Making sure you saw
it. There aren't too many matches that you've seen that I doubt I've not seen. Maybe if you can recommend something from like 2003 to 2006 WWE, maybe. Because I wasn't really watching.
Okay.
No, 2003, 2008.
Hey, I mean, have you seen all the Batista Undertaker stuff?
Yeah, I've seen all of it.
Yeah.
The big shows I've seen, I'm just saying.
Benoit MVP had a really good TV match.
I'm not going to watch that. Come on. Anyway. You failed at that challenge.
I failed. I'm sorry. It's one I got to really think about. You've seen so much. It's hard. I got to really dig deep in my memory bank, and it's been a long week and a long night, so it's thin up
excuses,
top.
Excuses.
Well, you can just dig up South Memphis, 1980. I mean, yeah, all right.
It's true. I can. I put the leg.
All right, how about WCF in my parents' backyard, Max Fryer and Sexy Steve? You ain't seen that match, and it was a 4.5 stars.
Well, hold on. You said it was in your backyard. Did y'all film it?
Yeah, I got it on
video
film.
Of it.
You want to me send it to you? A live watch it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll send you some WCF. Dan's seen plenty of WCF.
I would love to live watch some Sexy Steve.
All right, we're going to live watch WCF. I'm going to make it, burn it, and I'm going to send it to Will.
Upload it on YouTube, and we'll all watch it.
I don't know what that is, but they have a private YouTube channel. All right, one more, Dan.
Guys, your favorite and mine, Ryan Schmock. He says,
Hang on, time out. Ryan Schmock is doing Dark Shadows reviews on PlayStationNation.com. Go check them all out. He's an avid viewer. Check out the pieces. We're running them. He's a longtime fan of all our shows. Ryan, there's your plug. Everyone go read your reviews. Continue. I feel like that should be his mailbag question, but go ahead.
Okay, if WWE decided to open up a theme park, name some amusement park rides with the WWE superstars' names and or finishing maneuvers.
Well, Splash Mountain's way too easy. Ric Flair. The Ric Flair Woo Splash Mountain special. I like Steiner Screwdriver. I picture that being like a like a free fall kind of ride. You got any, Will?
No. What was the question?
Amusement park rides named after wrestlers or wrestling moves. Opening a theme park.
The Dragon's Lair, which would be a haunted house for Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah, that works. What'd you think of Steiner Screwdriver being like a free fall?
I like it. How about a burning hammer where when you go inside, the thing catches on fire and you die?
That is a pretty rough amusement park, and it's been a pretty rough mailbag this week, Dan, so you better dig back
in. Oh, it was good, man. We got Dixie Carter references.
All right, it was good for Designing Women Alone, and that's going to be the music that you're hearing right now as we're wrapping things up. So we're going to close
on,
up.
Hold on. Come on. Usually you're polite and you say, well, Will, what do you have coming up or whatever? Yeah. You didn't even, like, bother.
I did like 9 hours of plug on the Greatest Wrestler Ever. We talked about your reaction show coming up. We talked about your Spurs podcast. How much more you got?
Oh, well, I just want to say a shout out to Adam. He's a guy who listens to a lot of Place to Be podcast. He's battling cancer.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that we give a shout out to him. Hopefully he's listening to this show as well. And he said that he really appreciated all of the Greatest Wrestler Ever podcasts because it helped him get through his treatment or whatever. So just to give him a heads up, I'm going to do a series. It's going to be kind of, this is why I wanted to make sure I got this in. This is why I interrupted you. I'm actually going to be doing a series. I call it like the Island of Misfit Toys, where, you know, guys with different or unique ballots. I'm going to interview them and get their top 100. So we have some interesting guys who are going to come up. We got my buddy El Barriqua from Puerto Rico. I'm reuniting the DVDVR crew of Phil Schneider, Phil Ripa, and Dean. We're going to do a podcast this weekend. And there's a couple of posters. One's named Mondo and another's name is Scarlet. And they have some really interesting ballots. And I want to talk to those guys about their ballots. So look forward to those. They're not going to be your 9-hour marathons or 3-parters, but they're just going to be kind of a snapshot of some of these unique ballots that we're getting in. So Adam, stay strong, and hopefully you enjoy those shows coming up.
Yep, best wishes to Adam from everyone at PlayStation.com. Thanks for your support, and wish you nothing but the best as you take on this battle. So we'll of course it'll be in our minds and memories as these shows roll along, and you know, look forward to your updates and having it back posting and happy and healthy hopefully soon. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up another great episode of the Dangerous Alliance. Will, it's good to be back in the saddle, get these things back up and running. It's been nice, and it was great meeting you. I kind of feel like it was our reboot. You know, we rebooted WCW 2000 tonight, and I think we rebooted the Dangerous Alliance over the last couple of months, so that's fun as always. So, Dan, we're glad you could make it tonight. Thank you for helping out. We'll be back. I'll be back Monday along with Dan with the Kevin Kelly Show. We'll be looking at WrestleMania weekend. We'll be, you know, probably talk a little Balls Mahoney maybe about him passing away and a few other news and notes, and then new main event next week as well. So, for Will, for Dan, I'm JT. We're out. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Take care.
Hey.